Good morning. Today I'd like to talk about this rather grandiose subject. It's grandiose for something which should really be part of our everyday working environment. It was a great pleasure for me to investigate some of the tools that are available in the public domain in preparation for this talk, but there's really so much available out there that I apologise to any group in advance whose work I don't manage to cover. About 6 months ago, I took to downloading any sort of audio video conferencing tool I could find for my Windows 95 PC in a bored moment, and I was deluged with stuff. And then when I came to look at the area of computer-supported collaborative work, I found that it was even more dense with available stuff. Now, what is computer-supported collaborative work? This is a set of tools, basically, which allow groups of people to work together on computers. And it began in the 1980s with a product called Lotus Notes and products like it at around that time, which combined tools which were everyday tools, certainly in the business community, like word processors and spreadsheets, with multi-user and network features. Now, on the face of it, the HEP community seems to be a model customer for such tools because we're widely geographically dispersed. We're reasonably well networked, certainly compared to a lot of people with home computers. We make heavy use of computers as everyday tools, and we're in the business of sharing our research, and it's all very open. So what I'd like to do in this talk is to examine what tools there are available, what is being used in HEP, and what might be of interest to us in the future. The field began in the mid-1970s with office automation, which was an attempt to make the various word processors and spreadsheet programs that were then run on individual users' machines talk to one another. Unfortunately, at that time, there was very little idea of the sociology of sharing any of the source documents or of really what users wanted to do with these documents. So a bunch of computer scientists got together and they defined CSCW as a class of distributed software tools with some sort of knowledge about how people work in groups. And as I've already mentioned, this gave rise in 88 to Lotus Notes. And you look there at the basic features of Notes and you see that there's a document database on a server, some sort of sophisticated messaging system, and an application development environment. And you can contrast that with what we have today of the web, which in fact really is the same sort of idea. Today there's a great diversity of tools. The success of Notes really fired up the market, and since then there's been more and more stuff come onto the marketplace and indeed into the public domain. This is probably because as increasing numbers of personal computers become networked, the market is growing, and of course companies are keen to profit from that situation. Now the web and the internet have really facilitated this, and most of the new stuff that you see arriving today use those as transports. Now, I had great difficulty when I amassed all these tools and examples onto my PC in trying to categorize them, and indeed these categories which you see here, these five broad areas, there's a lot of overlap between them. Most of the HEP use of computer-supported collaborative work tools in the past has largely been in email and messaging and some software development. So I'm not going to really cover those in any detail because that would be very boring. It's probably worth mentioning that some software development as a category here is really a bit more than things like CVS and Apache. It really is collaborative development. But for sake of completeness, I just show you a simple email messaging slide. This, in fact, shows a picture of a thing called a web BBS system, which we use very little in HEP. All the email and messaging stuff is really asynchronous. It means that you put a message somewhere, somebody else can read it and reply to it. Moving on then to groupware per se, there are some toolkits available with which you can make up your own groupware applications. One of these is a thing called GroupKit from University of Calgary, which is based on TkTickle, so it runs on many different platforms. These are a couple of example applications that have been built with this GroupKit. One shows a file viewer where this is the text in the file here, and the red indicates one person's cursor, the position one person has in the file, and the blue indicates where the other person's position in the file is. And both users can annotate or correct the document. This is a similar sort of thing, text edit here, which again shows the blue and red cursors of the collaborators. Which is very simple stuff. Groupware also includes what I call workflow tools. This diagram comes from Bertrand Russo's page at CERN on CDAR. These workflow tools generally help in the management of project schedules. They allow you to send and receive and annotate electronic documents. And in particular, they allow some triggering of messages to be sent when certain conditions have been met, certain deadlines. Now, the basic building block on these is a thing called an electronic data management system, variably called an engineering data management system. You find various definitions of that acronym on the web. And this shows a little diagram of what one of those is and how that works amongst the users. More groupware stuff. This time it's drawing and writing. There's a very basic, very early example here of a tool called Conversation Board, where you can scribble, basically, and everybody else sees your scribble. It doesn't look very useful. I bundled into this particular category a thing called WebCal, which is an example of a web-based calendar, which certainly in the division where I work, I think we could make a lot more use of for booking conference rooms. This web-based calendar allows several people to add fixtures to a calendar, to put links in the calendar to other items of interest, block book rooms and so on. Now I move from the category of groupware to conferencing. Harvey has already covered in some nice detail what's available. Here you can see another little set of grabs of pictures from the MBone tools. This is, as you know, interaction between two or more users using audio, video, or both. It's covered by a set of ITU standards, which are enumerated there. Now the focus in the industry is really on interoperability. And we're seeing a lot of tools that can collaborate amongst one another, not just the MBone tools. In this context, Microsoft, in this area, Microsoft have been extremely active. For example, they've recently announced a thing called NetShow, which is a tool for broadcasting to several receivers audio and video stream. This is a particularly nice application which you can download from a Microsoft web page. It has a lot of sophisticated functionality. In here you can see that at the moment I was watching some television picture, I think it was CNN or something like that. There's a lot of very helpful little windows you can pop up to see what the packet loss is like. You can set the parameters of reception, and you can also use this tool to author your own audio-video streams, which I think might be of great use to us for doing things like training. For instance, if we were able to do that with Paul Kuntz's C++ course, I think that would be useful. The use of web telephones, internet telephones, seems to be expanding now to include video as well. About 6 months ago when I looked, there were thousands and thousands of telephones. Now they tend to be wanting to integrate video, and here you can see one of them, which is a particularly sexy looking thing, which actually looks like a portable phone. It has all the standard features like dialing special numbers, your own video picture and your correspondence video picture. That's a freebie as well. Another subcategory of conferencing is what I call meetingware. I'm not sure if this is an industry term or not, but these are really a super category of audio-video tools that often integrate video conferencing. An example on Unix, which also in fact runs on Windows and Macintosh, is this thing called TeamWave Workplace. You can see a grab from here where there are three participants who you can see little pictures of there. They're obviously working on some document, some trend document there. They each have different colored cursors and they're circling things and so on. There's not really a whole bunch of stuff available for Unix. You get much better served if you go to the PC. And indeed, Microsoft haven't been sitting idle in this area either. They've introduced NetMeeting, which supports the ITU standards I already mentioned, audio and video, and a shared clipboard. So you put something in your clipboard and your correspondent can fetch it from his. A shared whiteboard, a chat window. It's very fully integrated with the desktop, with drag and drop, and there are shared applications as well. So I'm going to show you a couple of shots of NetMeeting, or one shot, I think. This is what it looks like. You can see here that there's a chat window. There's the standard video. The quality of these is pretty atrocious here, and I think there's a lot of room for improvement. There's a whiteboard here where what you see is a picture that I've actually dragged and dropped into there, and it's being annotated by Tony Cass, who I was in conference with at the time. Again, with the Microsoft tools, you tend to get a lot of very helpful little pop-up windows where you can configure the program to do exactly what you want. So this is a very nice integrated tool on the Windows machine. The other tool which really goes a long way to doing the same thing is White Pine See You See Me, which is available on several platforms. Here again you see a similar sort of setup. There are several video windows. There is a list here of conference participants. You can tell if they can see you, if a little eye is open. If the eye is shut, they can't see you. There's a bit of text here. There's a whiteboard, and again it's got some integration with the desktop, but it's not as complete as with NetMeeting. Then there's web-based conferencing, whereby one uses the web as a means to exchange information. This really started on mainframes in the 1970s with systems like Confer, and it was extended to the web at CERN initially with WIT, which was quickly hacked up just after, I think, the first WWW meeting at CERN. And since then, there have been very many tools made available. And there's been also some work in HEP here. CMS Doc, which is what you can see an example of here, has threaded discussions on different topics by clicking on the highlighted phrases. You, of course, move to the contribution. Another less often used aspect of conferencing is multi-user dungeons. These are text-based systems that allow users to enter environments containing objects, other users interact with them. They were, of course, traditionally used for games like Dungeon. There's been some work in universities on creating MUDs that are images of real working environments, and I show you here a little hypothetical MUD which might be quite nice, where a new chap enters a user consultancy office room, and he interacts with a bot. I would expect this would be a bot called Helper, who is just sitting there in that user consultancy room helping people with various questions they might have. But this is a very lazy way of getting questions asked in a user consultancy office. Then I come to virtual rooms and laboratories. This seems to be an area of a lot of development in the scientific community. There's work going on at LBL with the Advanced Light Source, where we're also using electronic notebooks. There's an example here which I show, which is from this is from Argonne, where there's a rather sophisticated electron microscope, which you can see in that picture there. In fact, that picture is a moving picture. You can tell because the fan, which you probably can't see on the desk, there's a fan which, as you watch it, is moving backwards and forwards. That's the only indication that it's live. You enter into this laboratory from the internet, and then by clicking on one of these places in the virtual space, you move in there, and in the end, you can interact and use the facility, providing you have the right password. Now, in these virtual rooms and laboratories, users are often embodied as shapes rather than as appearing as themselves, of course. And these are called avatars. They use 3D graphics, where you can manipulate the objects in the room. You can't manipulate the other people, of course, in the room, but just the objects. And the latest tools include packet, audio, and text. And I'm going to show you now a precursor of what is the massive system. It's the thing called the Dive system. This is a so-called distributed interactive virtual environment. Now, here you see two avatars, this chap here and this chap here, and they're interacting on this whiteboard here, where they can manipulate the shapes and draw in the standard way. And it's called an atrium, and it's at a place called Electrum, which is clearly a virtual sort of place. That Dive system, development on that has now stopped, and they're now putting their time into working on a thing called the Massive system. Let me show you a thing from the Massive system, where some conferencing participants have gathered round a table. You can tell from this picture the embodiments that have ears, have audio capability, so they can hear one another. Those that have T's on the front of their faces have text-only clients with graphics. And then this chap, who's sort of lying on his back at the back, has probably left his workstation in the real world, and he indicated this by lying down. This sort of behaviour is not usual in the real world, of course, at least not at CERN. Now, that system is based around IP multicasting. The interesting thing about it is that it has a complete OO class-based API. I'm not sure that we would want to make much of use of that in HEP. And where do we want to use this stuff in HEP? Well, clearly all of this stuff needs the network to work. And some of it, video conferencing, which Harvey's already covered, and David, make heavy demands on the network. Now, everybody has to be able to benefit from the tools, so we have to hope for cheaper and fatter connections amongst the HEP institutes. I think that some of the mass market tools that I've shown you just a few examples of can already be put to good use. We can probably already start leveraging the technology for HEP to, for example, construct multi-user event displays. You can think of having an event display which several people around the world are looking at, pointing out interesting features on. You could also think of, by using, for example, this rather alarming picture, shows a chap wearing the crystallized shutter glasses and this aeroplane thing shooting out at him, apparently from his workstation. Now, if you can use that technology to create a virtual detector that hovers in the center of the table as a set of physicists meet around it, and the physicists can then rotate the detector or look at the events in the detector, I think that would be very good. And of course, the work that's already going on in controlling things like the electron microscope we saw earlier on could be used to control experiments remotely. Another aspect that might be useful more from a computing point of view is LAN monitoring or machine room monitoring or experiment monitoring. This is an example, again, from the net in Dive, where you can't really see it, but in fact there's several machines here, computers and routers, and their condition is indicated by the color they have. And by moving to one of these machines and clicking on it in this virtual environment, you can then enter a system management facility which allows you to diagnose a problem if it's occurred. So I'd like to conclude by saying that the CSCW is a burgeoning mass market. It's increasingly targeted for the web and the internet. The commercial thrust is towards multi-party interactive web applications and games. Numerous video conferencing tools are already widely available for the home PC. My daughter already knows how to fire up White Pine CUCME and conference. But the scientific community, on the other hand, is really more involved in researching remote control of shared expensive laboratory equipment. So somewhere the two must meet, and we'll always want to build our own special applications, and we need to plan on research and development for those. But those have to be designed to work for all the remote collaborators in a real bandwidth limited world. And I certainly hope that we're going to see some developments in this area in the future.